waking up to men, coming to my senses.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. It is the final Sunday of the new year, so it is the best time to be in, you know, get it resolved before you get this new year kicked off, am I right? Anyways, we're grateful for you to be here. We love seeing all the church family here and all of our guests as well. If you're a guest, first time here or second or third time here, glad to have you here and glad to have you back. And if you would, if we'd all just please stand at this time. Right now, we're going to go before God and enter into His courts with thanksgiving and enter into His house with praise. And we're just going to show it. It may be externally, and you may think you feel silly or uncomfortable, but what we are doing is showing a visual praise to God and showing that there is no distance that we will go to, that we will not go to in this physical body, to show that we love you, God, and we are grateful for you. And if you agree with that, why don't you say an amen, and then let's go praise God together.
Cause there's nobody. such an amazing presence of the Lord in this place today.
There
is so tangible and it's so real. And that is why I am blessed beyond measure that this is my home church, because I've known and I've experienced the fullness of the living God. And I'm so, so, so grateful to be here with all of you today. I love everything that God has done for this city by putting this church here. Like last time, I am going to talk about prayer. One thing that I think is so cool about prayer is that whenever we get to do it here together, we actually do something that people did biblically, like in the Bible. So if you are new here, one thing that we do have a full assurance of and believe is that everything that did happen biblically can still happen today. And a big reason why a lot of us do believe that is, yes, we've seen it biblically, but there have been a lot of us that have seen it in this present time. So if you have any need of any sort, we do believe in healing. We do believe that people can be set free, and we do believe all of these things. And just like we believe that, yes, that is a mighty hand clap given to God because he can still do all these things. And so whenever, if you want to, if you would like to come down, if you have any need at all, what's great about our God is you don't even have to tell anyone because he knows the need. Or if you want to step in for someone that you do know, I believe God honors that too. And that prayer that people will come and do like they did biblically. In the Bible, they placed their hands on people and they prayed for them. They became like this mediator that would, there is power in the palm of our hands. That I also know to be true. So whenever people come, if you do come down to the front and they pray over you, that is something that the apostles did back in the Bible too. So whenever we do that and we pray the way the apostles did, that's why we believe that we will see what the apostles saw. And so today, if you have any need at all, please feel free to just come down while I'm reading out this list. We have Tawna Freeland, Billy Hendrick, Monica Adams, Mary Miller, D.D. Freeland, Jim White, Brother Alton Burstow, Joanne Freyer, Bernice Griffith, Jack Knight, Beverly Boren, Jerry Finley, Carson Cheshire, Katie Bean, Charles Scarborough, and Kenny Ham. Let's all together pray in one spirit and one mind to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you so much that we get to be here today in your presence and in your spirit. Lord, I speak faith and I speak the name of Jesus that something miraculous is going to happen today. I believe that faith is going to be restored. I believe that people are going to be restored. And it is more than just a belief at this point, for this is something we know to be true. So, Father, in the name of the only saving name, I speak the name of Jesus over every person today. In Jesus' name.
I've got nothing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, and I know it's not.
Don't you be shy of me, lift up your song. Cause you've got it lying inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song.
Cause you've got a lion.
You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs.
You're worthy of it all.
glory.
He deserves it because he's worthy,
worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things.
You deserve
the glory. You alone are worthy of.
clap of praise. Let's lift a hand clap of reverence, of respect, of honor, of glory to our great God right now. As Stevie said, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only one who sits on the throne. And that name is Jesus. Time, if the ushers could come for our tithe and our offering. I'm sitting over there and I was thinking to myself that the birth of a king is what we just celebrated. The birth of the one true king. He has no governor beside him. He has no assistant to him. He is the one king alone. And I was thinking, as we continue to build upon our relationship with Jesus, it's linear, right? It's just one linear straight line. It's not at all. Our relationship with God, sometimes, I'm about to blow your mind, but sometimes it feels like you're going just like this and then directly down. Our relationships with Jesus are not linear. But what is linear the entire time is the Rock of Ages. Is the firm foundation. And so when our growth trajectory seems to go haywire, we know exactly where we're supposed to be at. And it's that Jesus, our constant, our firm foundation, the strong tower that the righteous runneth into. Oh man, I don't know about you, but that just gives me a hope. It gives me a faith. It gives me a strength. It gives me a mercy, a peace that I can say, God, I'm not perfect every day, but you are perfect every day. And you are my chance. You are my lifeline. You are my salvation no matter where I'm at. Man, oh good God, that is the birth of who was just born. That is the king that was just born. Oh, goodness, 2,000 some years ago. Oh, goodness. And that is the same Jesus that we still serve, Brother Garen. Oh, man. So at this time, we'll take our tithe and our offering. And that is simply a biblical aspect that God is asked to give back to him. The 10% is the tithe. And whatever you may feel, that is the offering. God, Jesus, we ask that your will would be done in this place today, God. As we come to an end of a chapter on 2024, Jesus, I pray that your will would be done in 2025. No fluff, no extra pieces, but Lord, that your will would be done, God, and that we would submit ourselves to you. We would be in complete servitude to you, Jesus. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us already. Thank you so much for the chances you've provided to us, the opportunities you've given us. In your great name, we pray. Amen.
Blood. I
precious, oh how precious,
oh how precious, how beautiful this priceless love I've come to know in the midst of my darkest.
Just like that.
People that have their hands lifted. Right now, if you have faith, I don't care if you're a preacher or not, if you have faith for it, just reach out to those and pray a prayer of faith. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of His testimony, I covenant with every prayer that's being loosed in this house. If you're at home, you cannot be here. Reach out right now for the covenants of the King and the power and the authority of the Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we're moving forward. Hell cannot stop you. Darkness cannot stop light. And victory cannot stop.
To the highest mountain.
bless you as you're seated. What a wonderful host of angels have come into this house. There are multiple spirits of God that are in this place. If you need a level of confidence, receive it right now. If you need to be filled with strength and overcome fatigue and weariness of what's happening in our world, it's a good time for you to claim it right now. If your faith has been weakened by the lengthy waiting upon the Lord to hear your prayer, this is the time to renew your faith. He will never, never not listen to the prayer of faith. And so we need to make sure, if you have troubles, ask for wisdom. Ask for spiritual strengths in the power of the Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I encourage you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because as long as sin is in your heart and in your head, it will frustrate what the Bible calls frustrating the grace of God. Grace is a teacher. And grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and fleshy lust, we depart from anything that would subtract the promises of God. So those are huge, huge. Each one of those statements could be a sermon that I'm talking to you about right now. But there is a spirit in this house of victory. It's just here. It's up to you to reach out. And if you're held back by some sin or some weakness in your body or mind, this is the time to put it under your feet. Because that's what he said he did. He hath put all things under our feet. That's huge. You're walking right now where angels, the Bible said, fear to tread. The presence of the mighty God. So today, we're going to ask Brother Daniel, one of the gentlemen that was really raised up a long time in my ministry and in this assembly. I want him to take, he's not going to preach the whole Bible. But we've already given him 5 minutes, and so he's fixing to get with it. And after him, Brother John Proctor's coming for his 5 minutes. And then after that, I'm coming for 4, at least.
Thank you, Pastor. I was telling Sister Meyer this morning, it was so great to see everybody. And we've been traveling a lot for the holidays. So the reason why Janelle and Holly ain't here this morning is because they are laid up after several hard days of travel from Chicago, Illinois. And if you've ever been up there, you know what that's like, all the way back to here. But I did have something come to mind that, matter of fact, I used to get nervous in settings like this, and I still kind of do, but I figured out that when you have just a daily discipline of spending time with the Lord and getting in the Word of God, typically God's going to give you something to say. So the more fellowship that you have with the Word of God, the more opportunities that God's going to give you to open your mouth and speak to somebody else and give some hope in their life and give them just something that they can grab a hold of. Because this world is just getting increasingly dark as the days go by. If you pay attention to the prophecies of the end times and all that entails in those things, it's wrapping up pretty quick. And God's raising up a people that, like Daniel said, they know their God and they will be strong and do exploits, do great and mighty and heroic things. I'm just so thankful today. I see so many familiar faces. I could just go on and on. This is the church that raised me. The only reason I'm standing up behind this pulpit today is because there is a church and a pastor here that was willing to invest in my life and help me. Everybody that's in here knows I was a knucklehead. A lot of my life growing up, there's a lot of things that I didn't do right. But, you know, At some point in my life, in that old sanctuary over there, God got a hold of me. And better than that, I got a hold of God. And there became a symbiotic relationship where things began to happen. And somehow I made good enough choices to where now I've been going out of Paris, Texas for 10 years. I've youth pastored. I've been able to be involved in ministry in so many different capacities. I've got probably 10 to 15 people I'm discipling right now. We're living in College Station, Texas, a part of Victory Church, which I want to give greetings from Brother and Sister Castleberry down in College Station. Those Aggies hadn't rubbed off too bad on me yet. I'm still kicking. I'm still, I don't know, I'm going all over the place. I want to give you some scripture this morning. I'm going to be very quick, but this is something I read. And I don't know, being here in Paris, every time I come back, memories just start flooding. And it's just amazing. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, and I'm reading in the New King James Version. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. I want you to pay attention to these next two verses. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." All the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones realized, "Hey, we don't have anything to put in our lamps. Y'all think y'all can let us?" The wise virgins, they asked them, "Do y'all think y'all can let us borrow a little bit of what you've got? Because we don't have what it takes for the bridegroom to see us. We don't have what we need to be ready for the bridegroom's coming." And of course they said no, but you know what? You can go down to the store and buy some. Maybe you can get back in time. But the Bible says while they were out buying that oil, the bridegroom came. I'm going to tell you something. Verse number 3, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. How could you take a lamp that you have to put oil in the light and not have what you need? How can you make that choice to just say, you know what? I'm going to have the equipment. I'm going to look like I have it all together, but I'm not going to have what actually ignites the fire. I'm not going to have what actually brings things to life. I'm not going to have what actually makes me able to be seen by the bridegroom when he comes. I'm going to tell you, our choices that we make have huge consequences. I've been teaching a Bible study for several months with, like I said, several of these people that were privileged to disciple and bring into the faith and help build up and learn to walk and talk and live for Jesus. And man, every single time, every single narrative of Scripture that we go through the Old Testament, you look at Joseph, you look at Moses. I mean, think about Moses. What was the pivotal choice that he made for God to begin speaking to him and for God to raise him up as a deliverer and start to use him and all of the great and mighty things up to the crossing of the Red Sea and going through the wilderness being led by the pillar and cloud of fire? What was the thing that got God's attention? It's crazy. There's a bush out in the middle of the desert that's on fire and it's burning and it's not consumed. And all Moses, the Bible says, all that he did was stop and looked at it. And from that moment, God starts dealing with him. As a matter of fact, the scripture specifically says, Moses said, "I will stop, and I'm just going to try to figure out why this bush isn't being consumed, even though it's on fire." And from that moment, God started speaking to him. We feel a powerful presence of God in this place today. We feel the Spirit of God moving and working and ministering. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just for us to feel good. It's not just for us to walk away and say, "Oh, I feel like I had a good church service today," or, "Oh, I feel like Pastor preached a good message today," or so on and so forth, whatever we can fill in the blanks with. The point is that God's trying to bring us to a place where we will make choices, where we can hear His voice, and we will decide, "I'm going to keep walking with you." We think that the way God works is we have these big, grandiose things happen in our lives, and, oh, we're looking for the big things to happen, and we're looking for the fireworks at the end of the show. We're looking for the grand finale. But really, it's a day by day, one day at a time process. We say no to unrighteousness. We say no to sin. We say no to the things that displease God, and we say yes to the things that bring us closer to God and help us to walk with Him and learn of Him. I don't have anything really much deeper than that today, but I feel it just was pressing on my heart this morning, and I said, Lord, if Pastor wants me to come up and greet the congregation and share something with somebody, maybe this is going to connect the dot for somebody today. Whatever God's asking you to do, whatever God's dealing with you about, make the choice. Choose God. Choose to take one more step. If you can't, it's like that old quote by Martin Luther King Jr. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. Keep growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind a year from now, 5 years from now, however long it may be, what God builds because of those choices, the little things. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray and let's just ask God to help us today through the remainder of this service. Lord, we love you. We just ask you today to take these words that are being spoken by me and other capable ministers of the gospel today. We just pray that you would speak to us and touch us and help us put these words in our hearts and to choose godliness, to choose righteousness, and to let you work on us and become all that we can be for your kingdom and your glory in the name of Jesus.
And we want another giant in the spirit to come right now, Brother John Proctor. And what a day. There is no reason for anybody to leave feeling like you're not loved.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Boy, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? You drug yourself up out of bed and you drug yourself to church. You might as well just drag yourself on through it and get everything you can out of it. You know, I was thinking a while ago, Brother Griffith, the date was September the 6th. The year was 1970. A 17-year-old boy walked into the old sanctuary on the 14th pew. It was 12:15. I never knew anything about the Holy Ghost except what I had heard. But 30 minutes later, I got up and God had filled me with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. You know what amazes me about this God we live for? I had shoes, tennis shoes that was busted on the side, but he didn't care. My shirt had holes in the, underneath the arms. He didn't care. And you know what? I even had body odor, but he didn't care. I didn't know how to read. I didn't know how to do anything, but he didn't care. He didn't want my education, boy. He would have lost out if he did. But what he wanted was my heart. What he wanted was an honest heart. Come on, I'm talking to somebody in here today. You've been struggling for a long time. Get over yourself and realize that God knows where you're at. You're worried about somebody putting a hex on you? That's a bunch of nonsense. A child of God, the devil can't put a hex on you. They could cut a piece of your hair, bury it in the ground. It's just buried hair. They come over and sprinkle dust on your porch, get barefooted and dance in it. Because nothing can overcome a child of God. If you got a made up mind, somebody hear me. I'm here to tell you I've got a made up mind. I've struggled, I've battled, I've had all kind of situations, but I've learned one thing. He will never fail. Oh, come on, let's love him. Come on, I'm here to tell you, God's trying to do something with some people in this building. I often pray, I'll say, Lord, deliver me from me. Yeah, if you're going around looking for devils, usually if you go to the bathroom, you'll find him. It's in the mirror. The biggest devil you deal with is your flesh, your attitude, your mindset. Come on, I'm here to tell you, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost in here this morning. Somebody needs to wake up in here and realize you got more power in you than you think you got. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. I've watched people over the years. They get all discouraged and all upset about everything, and I've done it myself. But when I go to prayer, I'd say, God, it's not your fault that I'm not praying. It's not your fault I'm not living for God. It's not your fault that I've got an attitude, but it's my fault. But I did come to you today. I'm here today. Pardon me, I'm here today because I want to be closer to him. Come on, somebody. We were born in the fire. If we was Baptists, I'd expect it to act like Baptists. If we were Methodists, I'd expect it to act like Methodists. If we was Catholic, I would expect you to go, you know, and holler, Hail Mary. But no, we are apostolic, one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost-filled saints of God. And that's what we're supposed to act like. Come on, you was born in the fire. Get in the fire. Woo! Come on, if we could get as excited about a move of God as we're excited about the price of groceries. Now, I'm going to tell you, y'all can tell by looking at me. I like to eat. I enjoy eating. But I walked through Brooks's the other day, and I said, you know, I'm seeing something I've never seen. One man said, what is it? I said, I never thought I'd see a day that men had to walk with their wives to guard the groceries. I saw a man, he was stocking. He was stocking some product, Coke products. And I knew he got something in his eye or something. And he went like this. And I run up to him. I said, sir, it's okay. It's okay. Well, I'm sorry, but it's okay. He said, excuse me? I said, well, I see you looking at the price of everything, wiping your tears. He said, I wasn't wiping tears. I had something in my eye and started laughing. Come on, but you know what? Has God ever failed you? Come on, every bill you got's been paid. You got groceries in your house. We're not thankful like we need to be. You ought to go home, open up that pantry, and touch the canned goods and say, for this, I thank you. You got gas in your vehicle. You ought to say, for this, I thank you. You able to drive? For this, I thank you. You got a house? For this, I thank you. Come on, American people have lost the gratitude that we need to have toward God. I'm thankful today. Has 2024 been a good year? Absolutely not in some ways. But overall, I learn a lot of things in other ways. So yes, it's been a great year. And next year will be a better year as long as we stay close to him. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Meyer, I was in a church one time, and I said, let's all praise the Lord. Now, don't anybody say amen. I know some of you won't have a problem with it, but don't anybody, just clap your hands. Come on. I said, let's praise the Lord. And that's what they did. You know what I did? I said, this ain't a stupid city council meeting. It's the house of God. And he wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you praise him. When's the last time some of you really broke out into a spirit of praise? You say, well, you know, Brother Brock, you don't understand where I come from. Yeah, but baby, you don't know where I come from either. That's why I'm so excited today to know that over 6 million people in the world, and he took time to love me. Come on, somebody stand up and shout hallelujah.
Well, what a wonderful, wonderful occasion to be in a Christmas season and have the Christ of Christmas open up to us things that we've been paralleling with our thought patterns. I'm just going to move into a few things that I think the Lord wants us to be ready for, as we move into the new dimensions of life that are opening up for us. The word I want to capitalize on today is the statement or the word when. Just a very simple word that, as I was praying earlier this week and trying to parallel myself with what God really came for. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And there are people that are going to different local assemblies, but when it comes to the family life and the things that are going on in their job settings and then the things that are going on in the world. And so what we look at is, when are we going to do something about it? When did Jesus come? He came in the middle of that kind of activity. He came as a physical image, but in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So I want to give us a definitive that the world gives as an adverb to the word when. When did you last see him? Or Saturday is the day when I get my hair done. And as a conjunction, I loved math when I was in school. After that, just implying or suddenness, he had just drifted off to sleep when the phone rang. When? At or on as an adverb, which referring to a time or a circumstance. The statement is, Saturday is the day when I get my hair done. It's a conjunction, when. And so there are several listings here, at or during the time that I loved math when I was in school. Call me when you're finished. Can you spare 5 minutes when it's convenient? How many times have we ever heard that? And an hour later, got around to it. After which, just then, he had just drifted off to sleep when suddenly the phone rang. In view of the fact of different things, why bother to paint it when you can photograph it with the same effect? Although the saying it now, when, I should have told you long ago. And we have all experienced, at least in part, what those words when come up and reveal. We didn't get to it when we should have. We didn't do it when I thought of it. When is the real need of the hour. Matthew 24:1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered, said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. He's telling them there is going to be a when, And when you see these things come to pass, you will know that it's all culminating and coming to an end. And so those are areas where you sense that. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrows. So Mark picks it up, and he said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. He is giving us diagrams, pictures, realizations, wisdoms, knowledge, and all of this. And he said, when you see this, I'm not going to put a date on it, because it will come as a thief in the night. It will be when people least expect it, when they should be knowing that the signs of the time are revealing that the when is about to take place. When you see him be in the grave, know that the resurrection is close. When you see him hanging on the cross, you will know that a new bloodline has been given to us. When you sense and see that empty tomb, it tells you the story that those that live in Christ, when it's all over, the graves of those who were born again of the water and the Spirit, they were born of the water and the Spirit in the sense that they repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they would receive the power or the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when the trump of God sounds, the grave shall be open. And when that day occurs, those who are dead in all of the things that they crucified their flesh, and they crucified the way that the world does things, and they realized, I am following the King to a grave maybe, but I am following him out of the grave. And ladies and gentlemen, Easter is just a picture of that, to remind us every year the grave cannot hold the redeemed. And when the trumpet of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now that's an active faith. Faith without works is still dead. Faith actually activates life to pursue the will of God, the Word of God, the way of God, and the love of God. And those people, hallelujah, that are walking with the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, when the trump of God shall sound, hallelujah, you talk about some sign of a kind of an event. The dead are going to come out of the grave. The singers are coming right now, and we are going to actuate a when right now. When? Why wait till tomorrow? When? Now is the acceptable time, the Bible said. We are all in one house. We have heard ministry. We have heard singing. We have sensed the powerful Spirit of the Lord. And right now is the actual moment. When? It don't have to be at 10 o'clock. It don't have to be at 10:30. When the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Well, I got another when. win. When they begin to worship him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, healing is going to come alive. Freedom is going to live. Glory is going to be revealed. The when right now is when we decide. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the moment I'm going to give him the praise he deserves. I'm not going to wait till I get motivated by something else. I'm going to motivate my faith right now and understand when people praise the name of the Lord, he begins to come down and to reveal to the wisdom of the king and the spirit of the king and the glory of the king. You're going to walk out of this house today if you let this be a win for you, and you're going to go out without one speck of sin or one speck of doubt or one speck of fear. You're going to walk past all of that and say, I'm living in the when. He is now. Now. Now is the when. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of the Lord. Now is the work of God. Now the word works. Now the Spirit's working. In the name of Jesus, would y'all sing and would you let God lead you? If you just want to come up to the front and make a confession or a commitment to God. If you want the Holy Ghost, this is a wonderful time. When is now. I can't afford to wait.
So I come to tell you that
we're creating a when now. When they worship him with all their heart, he said, I will be in them.
So I come.
It's convenient where two or three are gathered together. If it's convenient, take the hand of your wife, your husband, a child, a friend. But let's let him know. We know when he's going to show up.
Yeah.
Service, night service, and the following weekend will be another pastor, morning service and night service. Have a great day.